And good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, April the 4th, 2018, 4/4/18, 12 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. I am Scott Spears, back for hour number two. Now, the first thing we want to do is take care of a little bit of housekeeping before we get to our two very special guests of this hour, and you're going to want to stay tuned right on up until 2 o'clock today. Last hour, we want to thank Bill Macy for being on. Bill Macy, of course, you probably remember best for his work as Walter Findlay on the hit TV series Maude. Bill will be turning 96 years old on May the 18th, and he will be celebrating at the Bicycle Casino out in Los Angeles. So Bill's always wonderful. 96 years old. Hard to believe. What a great guy. May 18th at the Bicycle Casino. So if you're in the area, they're going to have chocolate mousse. Stop by and celebrate with Bill Macy. And coming up tomorrow on the program at 1:15, this is something you're not going to want to miss. We're going to be joined by Jody Serling. Jody Serling is the daughter of Rod Serling, the creator of The Twilight Zone. And we'll learn about her father and her family. Jody Serling tomorrow. And if you don't know, Rod Serling went to college, Antioch College, here in Ohio, and actually worked at a radio station here in town in the 1950s, and we still have some of Rod's scripts from when he was here. So maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow with Jody at 1:15. Now, that brings us to our dual guests this hour, and I could not ask for two better people to have on. They are tremendous actors. In the United States, you would have to call them American treasures. They both have won Emmy Awards. A matter of fact, they won Emmy Awards on the same night in 1986. I don't believe that's been done. I think that's only been done twice in the history of the Emmy Awards. They have starred in television series together, Saying Elsewhere and Boy Meets World. You probably remember him best as Mr. Feeney from Boy Meets World, or maybe Dr. Craig from Saying Elsewhere. And they have a marriage that's been going on for over 60 years. What a wonderful story. I'm so glad to welcome to these microphones William Daniels and Bonnie Bartlett. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
That's okay, Scott.
Yeah. Last hour I was talking with Bill Macy, and he said he used to play tennis with you.
Oh, yeah. Bill is an old friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played tennis together. Poorly, but we played it.
Turning 96 next month and still doing well. It's always good to hear from Bill.
What's that?
I say it's always good to hear from Bill.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I tell you...
He's going to be 96, Bill.
No. Oh, really?
Yes. Still goes...
Oh, that's great. We've kind of lost touch with each other, which is something that happens in show business all the time. You know, you're together on a show or a play or whatever, and then when it's over, you each go your own ways and you lose contact with each other. That happens over and over, which is a pity.
Now, Bill, I was reading today, you used to be a disc jockey, is that correct?
In the Army, yes. Let me put it this way. When I was in basic training, they dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and so forth, and the war was over. So I went to Italy. I was shipped over to Italy in what they call the... occupation forces, and since I was in the entertainment business and I had that MO, they put me into a radio station in Livorno, where I spent 2 years, first as an announcer, and then when all the guys who were there during the war went home, I found myself running the place.
Bill, what?
That was in Livorno.
Bill, what,
Leghorn.
Why did you want to go into acting? What drew you to that profession?
My mother, Irene, was insistent on us kids, my sisters and I, to wind up in show business. I think she must have wanted it for herself, but that didn't work out. But she would read the papers, and if there was anything going on, like auditioning for a radio show, which is what happened to us, she'd drag us over there. And we went over, and we did a tap dance for the fellow, Charles Kenny, and he said, "This is radio. We don't need tap dancing." And he said, "No, if they sang." So she dragged us home and taught us a song, dragged us back on the next audition. And he said, no, not in unison, in harmony. So she dragged us back home and taught us the harmony. And then we went back for the third time, and he said, "Yeah, that's it." And that's how we got started.
Bill, did you ever have any ambition to be anything else since your mother kind of mapped this out?
Well, I kind of resented at the earlier in my career that I was put into something that I didn't choose for myself. However, as it went on, I realized, Bill, you're pretty good at this, so, you should be glad. And I started thinking more positively about it as I went along. We it was in the 30s, there was the Great Depression, and kids who you didn't have to pay to entertain were very popular, and that's what we did every weekend over at NBC on a show called The Horn and Hardart Children's Hour.
Bonnie, how did you get into acting?
Well, my father had been an actor, and my father was always acting everywhere around the house. So from a very young girl, that's what I wanted to be. I would see all the ladies, all the Jean Harlows and all the movies, and I just loved it. And that's what I wanted to do. So I started just imitating all those people, all the blondes. Mae West, Jean Harlow, Carol Lombard. I just loved all those ladies, and that's what I wanted to be. And so I just started acting wherever I could, school. I just did anything I could. I'd go out and recite the Gettysburg Address. I'd do anything they asked me to do, including a radio show, sports, of which I knew nothing. So then went on to Northwestern, and it was just from the very young age I was going to be an actress, and I wanted to go to New York and be an actress.
Now, obviously, you both have been recognized with Emmy Awards. You both are great actors. What makes a good actor?
Bill? Well, it helps to have some talent in that area. But you can also acquire it if you are really intent on going into this highly competitive business where there are a lot of actors, more actors than there are roles. And if you keep at it wherever you can, in summer stock or even in somebody's living room, you do your thing, whatever acting you've been doing. And you just keep at it wherever you can perform, whether it's in somebody's living room or on a stage or in front of a camera. You just keep at it wherever you can. And pretty soon, if you're fortunate enough, you gain a reputation and then they start calling upon you to be in a play or to be in a movie or whatever. And that's the way it went with me.
Bonnie, was it difficult being a woman in those days to become an actress, a working person?
No. And difficult in what way?
Was it hard? Did people say, "Well, you should stay home, you shouldn't do that"?
Oh, my parents weren't keen on the idea. Daddy had been in New York, and he didn't like the idea of me going to New York. But they never stopped me. Never.
Now, tell me the story, Bonnie, of how you and Bill met.
We were at Northwestern. Bill had been in the Army. So he was 2 years older and much more confident. You know, he'd been on Broadway. So anyway, we were at a an audition for a play that everybody was going to have a part, but you were reading for the see which part you were going to play. And so after the reading, he came down and said to me, you want to go for coffee? I said, you're too short. And he said, what? Come on, let's go for coffee. And I didn't really mean that he was too short. I meant that I was too tall for him, because I was from a small town in Illinois, and everybody, you know, you dated boys that were older and bigger and taller. And here was this guy who I was extraordinarily impressed with, because he'd been on Broadway, after all. And I really didn't mean it, except that I didn't think it was appropriate. And he just laughed at me, and we went out for coffee, and we've been together ever since.
Okay, I want to ask you both this question. I'm going to start with you, Bill. You both are working actors. You both have been for a long time in Hollywood, married for over 60 years. What makes this marriage work, Bill, where others don't seem to work?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think the answer is, at least in our case, mutual respect for each other, not only as human beings, but as pertaining to our talents, respect for each other. And I think that is, as far as I'm concerned, the most important thing. We still feel that. I think she's a marvelous actress, and she thinks I'm pretty good, and we were able to avoid any kind of mutual competitiveness, if you will, and it has worked out very well.
Bonnie, what makes it work?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I am writing a book, too, but it's a different kind of book. It's a book about the changing culture, like you asked about, you know, a woman actress. It's all the different changing cultures, and the way I was brought up in a small town in Illinois with all kinds of prejudices and things like that, and the way that's all changed. And I'm using that through all of my life and 70 years of being with Bill. I have been with him since I was 18, and I'm now 88. And the changes in the culture all those years, I hope that I'll write something that's kind of interesting, because it has changed. As you know, this whole Me Too culture, that's a huge change. And I go into a lot of that with doctors, with people that I worked with who did so many inappropriate things, and following that along, and the changes, it's like, if 70, it'll be like almost a century.
What a fascinating,
that I will have been alive, and all of that. So we'll see how it works out.
It sounds like a
You mean in the book?
In the book, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there have been plenty of time. You don't live with somebody for 70 years and not have problems. There's no such thing. It's the persistence of, it's persistence. It's going along at times when you really would rather not be married to the person, but getting through it. And I will say, children make a huge difference. When there are children, at least with us, we both loved our children so much that it was important to us to keep the family together always, even if we were mad at each other.
What a fascinating book idea, and I do want to plug this. William Daniels, wrote a book in 2017, There I Go Again, How I Came to Be Mr. Feeney, John Adams, Dr. Craig, Kit, and many others. But if you search William Daniels' book online, you will get it, and you can get that on Amazon and all fine retailers, I'm sure. Bill, why'd you write the book?
Well, I have a poor memory, and except for dialogue that's written on a script, and I thought I could test myself to see how much I could recall of my life and my career in show business. And you know, once you sit down and pick up a pen and yellow pages and start writing, it's amazing what happens. It all comes back to you, things that you didn't remember for ages, and that's the way it happened with me, and I was able to recall things that I hadn't thought about for years, simply because I was writing it down on yellow pages, and it turned into a book.
It's fascinating. I've heard nothing but raves about the book. Bonnie, I want to come back to you for a second in this idea of this Me Too movement, because those of us who live here in the Midwest and not in Hollywood, did people know that that was going on? I mean, was it common knowledge?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Always. You knew all these things. You know, you got, if you were... Well, I had an unusual father, so I had some inkling of it, but it was everywhere, and people were very casual about it. And I was a very strong, I would say, tough girl, and very smart, and I knew what I was worth. So I was able to just laugh it off or push it off. It's certain kind of girls that probably don't have that strength that would succumb. And also, I think a lot of women in my business thought that it was okay because it attached them in some way to an important person. And that's where they made their mistake.
It's an interesting thing. Bonnie, I want to ask you this. You talked about your long marriage, over 60 years, to Bill. Tell us something about Bill Daniels that we don't know.
That you don't know. Well, he's really, he's a very sweet guy, but he covers a lot of insecurity or whatever, with anger on a daily basis. If he feels insecure, if he feels like he's not doing what he should do this day or something, he gets angry, and he'll turn it on you, and you have to understand that and get used to it. It's a little bit like Dr. Craig.
Oh. Bill?
He's more like Dr. Craig than he is Mr. Feeney. Although Mr. Feeney, his playing of Mr. Feeney has been unbelievable. We can't believe the responses we get.
Beloved.
But of course he didn't write that. I mean, Mr. Feeney was written by Michael Jacobs, and Bill played the part, but he brought even more to it, and his own humor, which was wonderful. Because Bill is very funny, and he's very funny at home on a daily basis.
I want to...
The humor plus the anger is there every day.
Want to come to those two series in a second, but Bill, tell us something about Bonnie Bartlett that we don't know.
Tell you something about Bonnie?
Yeah, what
well,
don't...
Well, first of all, she's a very talented actress, and that's what appealed to me when I heard her read at this audition we were having at Northwestern, and that's where I asked her out for coffee. And she's a very loving person. She really is. I mean, she loves her kids. She loves me. And she's very easy to live with, very easy. She's a very, very thoughtful person, actually. And so, and she knows how to keep busy, and with her dance classes and so forth and so on. And I find her, I don't know, well, quite frankly, I don't know what I'd do without her.
Mm. And that's a great 60-year marriage. Bill, tell me about St. Elsewhere. How did you get the job as Dr. Craig?
I can't hear you.
How did you get the job as Dr. Craig on St. Elsewhere?
Oh, on St. Elsewhere. That was Bruce, right, Bonnie? That was unusual. Bruce Paltrow, Gwyneth's father, was the producer of St. Elsewhere. And and something extraordinary happened. He sent me five scripts, five one-hour shows of something called St. Elsewhere. That had never happened to me. He wanted me to read what was already written and my role in it, which in those five scripts was rather small. So when he called and said, how do you think about this? I said, well, they're wonderful, the writing, the humor, the humanity in it, everything. Except, you know, Dr. Craig doesn't have a very big part. He said, Billy, when the writers see what you do with it, it will become a big part. Mm. And actually, that's what happened.
And it was a tremendous thing. Of all the characters you've played, Bill, as Bonnie said, do you think you're closest to Dr. Craig?
You mean whether I'm closer to John Adams or one of those parts?
Yeah, Mr. Feeney, any other part closer to the real Bill Daniels than Dr. Craig?
No, I don't think so. They got to know me, and they wrote this dual thing that I have, the anger coupled with the humor. In fact, I think you'll find people who are in the business as comedians have a lot of anger, and it fuels their humor. They play off of it. That's not my case exactly, but it's something like that. And so there we are.
And then the other part, Bill, is that you've been a really good daddy, and Mr. Feeney is more mature. You're more mature when you play Mr. Feeney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that is true. Yeah. I mean, you did mature a lot out of some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie, okay. How did you end up on St. Elsewhere?
That was very strange. It was a little tiny. It was like, I don't think she had any lines, or maybe one line. And they called me and asked me to do it. Apparently, the casting person said, well, why don't you just call his wife and have her do it, because she knew me very well from other jobs. So I looked at it, and I said, oh, my God, this really is nothing. Bill said, it's funny. She's got a couple of laughs, because it was all about smoking a cigarette. And Dr. Craig thought that he had stopped Ellen from smoking. He was very proud of that and bragged about it. And then, of course, she sits down at this dinner, and as soon as he leaves the table, she pulls out a cigarette and starts to smoke. So I didn't smoke. Bill said, smoke. And so that's what he did. He worked with me, showed me how to open the pack, showed me how to... I never was good at, the inhaling thing or whatever it was. I had to fake that because I wasn't good at it. I never kind of understood it. But anyway, it was that kind of thing between Bill and me that they loved, and they started writing, you know. And so I became the wife who put up with him and understood him, because he was very good at what he did. And Bill always did that. Whatever he played, he was going to be good at it.
Yeah.
Whether it was John Adams or, John Quincy Adams, who was an amazing man. And Dr. Craig, great surgeon, and Mr. Feeney, the best teacher.
Absolutely.
So he always insisted on that.
Tell me about Emmy Award Night 1986. What was it like both being nominated to walk in there that night and both win? What was that like, Bonnie?
Well, it was very, very exciting for me. I have to say, it really was. We both, I think, we got a big kick out of it, and it was terrific. The next year, when I won, see, Bill won, the first, 1 year, Bill won the award. The second year, the two of us won the award. And then the next year, I won the award. And that was funny. Bill, what did they say to you?
Oh, after the awards, they were taking pictures, and I was standing next to Bonnie, and he was taking pictures, and he said to me, Mr. Bartlett, would you just step out of what? I want a single of your wife. And I thought, Mr. Bartlett, I guess I've had my 15 minutes of fame.
He did not like it. He really did not like that at all.
Oh, that's
Mr. I think
Bartlett.
That's about the only time we ever argued. I mean, not argued, but the only time that he was, I don't know, put in an awkward place.
That's a
as the actor.
Bill, the year that you both did win, 1986. What are your memories of that night?
Memories of 1986?
Yeah, when you both won the Emmy.
Oh, I don't know. I think, wasn't that where the limo broke down?
No, that was the first year.
Oh,
first time you won.
Oh, so this is the second year?
Uh-huh.
I can't think of anything.
It was
You know, Bill is not a big award person. He would never go to an award show unless he had to win an award. It's hard to explain, but he feels that there's too many of them, and he's just not a big award person.
I understand that. Before we go on to Mr. Feeney, I know a lot of people out there recognize the voice being on radio of Bill Daniels as the voice of Kit from Knight Rider. Bill, how'd that job come about?
Knight Rider. I had done a 60 minute or 80 minute show for the producer, and it was a comedy. And what was her name, Bonnie?
Bernadette Peters.
Yeah, Bernadette Peters and I had a funny couple of scenes together, and so that went very well. She's a talented girl, and I had a call from him and said, Bill, the producer this is, would you do me a favor and come over? I've got a couple of pages of script that I need somebody to put on tape that I can take to New York and push for the for sponsors. So it was just a favor. And so I went over there and he handed me the script. Now, this is before all these things about inanimate objects talking. And I looked at it and I said, this is a car? And he said, yeah. I said, and it talks. He said, right. I said, okay. And I thought, this is the silliest thing I've ever heard. And so I started reading. He said, listen, could you make it like Ma Bell? I said, no. Mm-mm. And I continued reading. He said, how about, and he mentioned something else. I said, would you just please let me read it? And I read it in my own voice, because I knew if I got stuck with a phony accent, it wouldn't go anywhere. I'd lose all my expressivity. Expressivity, is that the way you say that? Anyway, so I did my own, I did it in my own voice, and then I forgot about it. And then pretty soon, I think it was three weeks later, he said, "Bill, we sold the show." I said, "Oh, good for you." He said, "Well, we would like you to do the voice of Kid." I said, "Well, you know, I'm doing St. Elsewhere." He said, "We know that. It's the same network, and we'll just work, just work around you and have you come over and tape it whenever you're available." And my agent said, "Bill, you can't ask for anything better than that." So that's what I did. And I'd go over there, and it'd take me, I don't know, for an hour show, it'd take me about 45 or 50 minutes to record it. And then I'd go home. So that was that.
And it was a very popular show, two popular shows. They both came to an end in the late 80s. 1993, Boy Meets World comes about. How did that come to you, Bill?
Boy Meets World?
Yes.
The man's name was Mr. Feeney, and he was a teacher. And I thought Mr. Feeney is a kind of a funny name. And I didn't want to make any kind of humor off the backs of teachers who are underpaid and are terribly important to our society. So I was very negative about it. So I turned it down, and the producer, Michael Jacobs, called and said, "Well, could we have a meeting?" And I said, "You know," I went and I said, "You know, I read this, but I don't like the idea of a Mr. Feeney, of playing a Mr. Feeney." He said, "Listen, I'll tell you who I thought of in this part. I had a high school teacher who was a mentor of mine, and I have a huge respect for him, and that will be written in this part, and I'll make sure of it." And when I first read the script at a reading, I went to his office and quit, and he said, "Listen, give me 24 hours and you'll see what I do with the rewrite." And he did a tremendous rewrite, and so I took it, and there we were.
Do you know something?
What's that?
During that march, all the kids from Florida, you know, and they got everybody in the country to march.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There were a couple of signs that were out there, and it said, "Mr. Feeney didn't need a gun."
Isn't that something?
Yeah, we were so impressed with that.
Well, it's become part of people's pop culture. Bonnie, when that character... Because obviously, St. Elsewhere is tremendous. Knight Rider is remembered well, but I would think it's probably Mr. Feeney that gets the most attention. When that came to Bill, it being a sitcom, what did you think
of
it?
I can't hear, Bon.
Okay.
What did you think of that, Bonnie, that role?
Oh, I didn't think a lot of it, I have to tell you, because he didn't want to do a sitcom. He doesn't like the audience coming in and everything. He doesn't. People think that's theater, but it is not. And so he didn't. Honestly, we didn't think through all the 6 years that it was done. We had no idea the effect it had on people's lives. Now Bill gets every day letters from people saying, "Because of you, I became a teacher. You brought me up." Even Bill, what's the name of the man that wrote Hamilton?
Oh, Lin-Manuel.
Lin-Manuel
Miranda.
Lin-Manuel Miranda said
Hamilton.
Hamilton said to Bill, "You brought me up."
Mm.
You know, he was so impressed, and when he met Bill, I think he was most impressed because of Mr. Feeney.
Bill, when you were doing that role, the series ran for 7 years. Did you like the progression of Mr. Feeney throughout that time? Were you okay with how it all turned out?
I think so, yes. He wrote it, he was able to use my own sensitivity in the part. I think he captured very well something that I can do well, which is a combination of anger and humor, which is what I have in life. I don't know where the anger comes from, to tell you the truth, but I think it started when I was put into show business, and I probably didn't want to be by my mother. So I've always had that with me.
But I think by the time you played Mr. Feeney, you had matured.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I had. And
then that was where, you know, also, Billy, it's like your first mentor in life with Father. What was his name?
Howard Lindsay.
Howard Lindsay. Howard Lindsay was like a Mr. Feeney, really.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Lindsay was like a Mr. Feeney.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So you kind of, it was a full circle. You went right back to Howard Lindsay.
Yes.
And
well, he was someone I greatly admired, you know. Of course, I was a kid. But he was. He wrote the play, and he was very good in the play.
That's what I mean. He was...
Life with Father ran for, what, 9 years mm-hmm. on Broadway? Some incredible thing like that.
Absolutely. Bonnie, and here, as Boy Meets World is on the air, you play the dean of the college that Mr. Feeney
yes.
is teaching at. How did that all come about?
I think, Michael wrote that in. You know, he just wanted Mr. Feeney to have a lady, I think, and so he called and asked if I'd do it. I said, sure.
Well, I want to say this. I did watch Boy Meets World, and my favorite episode is the episode in which Fred Savage is in the show as a professor at the college.
Right.
And Bonnie, your role as the dean at the end of that episode... I mean, you suspend somebody and you give this great speech about,
yep.
I'm not sure, I'll never forget the lyrics or the words. You said to Fred Savage, you said, this is a teacher, I'm not sure what you are, but I'm going to find out. So fantastic.
I remember that. It was very good.
Oh, it was a great episode, and I thought, boy, what a great, that it was just great. It was a great, it was a well
It was, it really was, yes. That was very... serious, and Fred makes a wonderful villain.
he certainly, everybody was involved in that one.
Yeah.
It was great.
No, that was great. I like that.
Bill, Boy Meets World ends. There's an emotional scene in the last episode with Mr. Feeney. Was it hard to leave that character behind?
In a sense, yes. Yes, I would say so. But, of course, we'd been, how many seasons?
Seven
seasons, so I knew it couldn't go on forever. But I had this scene alone in the classroom when they all leave. And I found that it touched me, the scene. I became very... very emotional about it, and I had to almost sit on that while I said to an empty classroom that I love you all.
Mm.
And I don't know, for me it was a very dramatic moment, and I liked it.
It was a great ending for that series.
And we do see the kids.
That's what I was going to ask.
We do see them from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was it hard to work on a set where most of the cast was kids?
Well, yes, but what I did with that, because, you know, I'm older and I have what I think is the proper discipline around the set and so forth, and they're kids, and they're running around and laughing and not taking it at all seriously as I did, which was probably stupid of me, but, so I hid in my dressing room until it was time for me to go on. And then I'd come out and do the scene and go back into my dressing room, because these kids, and I love them, but they were running around, and if they messed up the scene, they'd just giggle and do it over again, that sort of thing. And I was just from a whole different period, a generation. And so I stayed away from them. Although I have to say, I love them. They're really wonderful kids, and it's just that I was from a different generation, and I took my work very seriously, and they seemed to just knock it off with laughs and carrying on, and that's the way it went.
And, of course, in this world of reboot television, Boy Meets World did come back a couple years ago with Girl Meets World. Mr. Feeney was in a few episodes. Did you like going back and doing that?
Oh, that was okay, except there they were, they'd grown up, you know. It was kind of a shock to where, you know, they were 12 or 13 years old when we did it, maybe 11 until they were 15, and now they're grown up. So it was kind of odd to do, but no, I didn't. It was easy enough to do. The scenes were not difficult, and so I enjoyed it.
Bonnie, I wanted to ask you this because, as most people know, Roseanne came back to television last week with huge ratings, biggest rating in 4 years on television or something like that. If they ever wanted to do Saint Elsewhere again, would you like to see something like that done?
Oh, sure. I would love it. But Tom Fontana wouldn't do it. I mean, Tom is busy doing other things and has done other things. As a matter of fact, the reason...
I don't know if he knows who Tom Fontana is.
He's the writer. Of St. Elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bruce is gone. She's no longer with us. And but Tom wrote that last scene in order to make sure that it would never be revived. Isn't that strange? I always yelled at him about that. I still yell at him about that. But that's what he did. He wrote that really odd last show for St. Elsewhere.
Bill, what did you think of the ending of St. Elsewhere? It was kind of strange.
Excuse me?
What did you think of the ending?
I didn't like it.
No, we didn't like it at all.
Yeah. Great series, and ended in kind of a strange way.
Yeah, indeed.
And he did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's
so I didn't like it at all. Not that I thought it should go on and on. I mean, we did 7 seasons, and that was enough.
Bill, here you are. What type of roles do you want to do now? Do you still like going out and acting?
Do I still like what?
Do you still
going out and acting?
Oh, sure, I'm an actor, and if something came along. But, you know, I'm pretty old now, and they know it, and they know, you know, you don't have any secrets in show business. They probably, not having seen me, would wonder at my age if I came in on crutches or a cane or something. And I don't get any calls anymore, and that's fine with me. I've had a long and prosperous career, and I know things have to end, and that's the way it is.
Bonnie, how about you?
Well, I'll go on as long as anybody asks me.
Mm-hmm.
I did a couple of episodes of Better Call Saul, and that was wonderful, and I loved Bob Odenkirk. And that was recent. And then before that, I had done an episode of Peel. And he was wonderful. They were wonderful, those guys. And I'm so pleased with how well he's done. My God, with Get Out, he's done so well.
Tremendous.
And I'm very proud to have been on that show.
Bonnie?
So, yes. I'm ready to do anything.
Bonnie, when you look back at your entire career, if you had to put one thing in a time capsule, what would you put in there?
In a time capsule?
Yeah, something that somebody would view 100 years from now. What would you put in there?
You must be talking about film.
Or work. Anything you've done.
Well, Actually, the thing I did at Northwestern where I met Bill.
She did Barbara Allen in Dark of the Moon, and she was...
I loved that.
A knockout.
And that would be...
She was so good.
I loved that.
Barbara Allen in Dark of the Moon.
Mm. Bill, what would you put in a time capsule? What was your greatest?
What's that?
What was your greatest work?
I didn't hear the question.
What was your what would you put in a time capsule? What was your greatest work? Most interesting to you?
I would think John Adams, the musical, 1776. It was a challenge, and it was interestingly written. By the way, the writer of that show went back to recorded history of what was going on in 1775 and 76. And he used a lot of John Adams' actual words in the show. And that was also interesting for me and worked out very well.
And Ben Franklin, all of them.
And Ben Franklin, yeah, all of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have about 2.5 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you this question, both of you. Acting is interesting to me because when you play a character, if nothing else, they kind of look and sound like you in the end. How much of you goes in to a character?
I can't hear you.
How much of you goes into a character?
Oh, well, that's an interesting question because the best thing to do is to find out in the character what you yourself have,
I think what he means is you always approach it as yourself and then take on the character, but you are always using your own sensitivity, your own feeling.
I think what you do is you find in the character what qualities that you own in your own self, and you bring it to that character as much as you can to answer what needs to be answered in the character. You look to yourself about whether you are angry, or you know, you can use or humor, you can use things that come out of yourself, and it's always better than that, than making believe something that's foreign to you.
It's fascinating. Before we wrap up, Bill, I wanted to ask you this. Because you have done so much great work, 1776, and of course, Saint Elsewhere, but people do remember Mr. Feeney in the marches.
We see
the signs. Does it bother you in any way that that might be the character you're most remembered for?
No, not at all. Because, you know, I played that part for, 7 seasons, and it touched on all kinds of emotions. I lost my son on the show.
You lost your son on St. Elsewhere.
Oh, that's another show. Okay. But, no, it doesn't bother me at all, no.
Because he gets such lovely letters from people, and, you know, it's really nice. Really nice. And bother you, you can't. Kit! They're crazy about Kit. That's the one that's silly. I mean, he signs all kinds of things from cars and stuff for Kit.
They send me things like a fender of a car to sign. I had to stop that because I didn't want to have to go over to the post office to mail a fender. So, you know, so. But well, I got crazy.
That one is silly.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Bonnie, before we wrap up here, how do you want to be remembered 100 years from now when people view your work?
A very good actress.
Bill, how do you want
to... A very good actress.
Bill, how would you like to be remembered?
I don't know how to answer that question and tell you the truth. I've never thought about it. They can pick out one of my performances if they want to. If I had to, I suppose the one I'm probably the most proud of is John Adams, so maybe that would be it. We did that for a long time, and then we did the picture as well. So, yeah, I guess that would be it would be John Adams.
I want to make sure I mention this again. The book is There I Go Again, How I Came to Be Mr. Feeney, John Adams, Dr. Craig Kitt, and many others. William Daniels is the author. The guests this hour have been William Daniels and Bonnie Bartlett, Emmy Award-winning actors, husband and wife for over 60 years. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you both for coming on, and I hope you can do it again.
Okay,
thank you.
Scott.
Thank
okay.
you both.
Thank you, Scott.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. And that brings an end to that hour, and for this day, we're heading for the dugout.
Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level building. Thank you so much for playing fair.